24/7 World Radio, watching the prayer, and we're back. And we're back. And, I want to point out to you something here. Go to, if you really want to take a walk down memory lane, go to, vaccineimpact.com. 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 Go to www.vaccineimpact.com. www.vaccineimpact.com. Okay, one last time. www.vaccineimpact.com. And click on, let's see. Ah, here it is. 55 performers collapsing or dying on stage or live camera in late 2022 through 2023. And it's got all these videos about people dying and on camera collapsing. Probably mostly peaceful collapses. Funeral embalmer says 85% of dead bodies now have strange blood clots since the COVID jab rolled out. Can't imagine what that would be. Can't imagine. As you scroll down here, you'll start to see, this is a long page, pictures of people 38 years old. I took the COVID jab. Dead. Sudden death. Dead. Picture of him. That's your best move. Dead. Children who died suddenly. Dead. 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 14 years old. Dead. Dead. 11 year old. Dead. They advocated for COVID vaccines and mocked the unvaxxed, and now they're dead or disabled. Al Roker treated with blood clots, James Hildreth, Eric Rubin, David Kim, and A. Ovetta Fuller, dead. The Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. Four people, either dead or disabled. 24-year-old athlete and actress after mandatory COVID jab. Here's a gal, 18 years old, died unexpectedly. So you just read, I mean, it's just picture after picture after picture. Five here, five here, five here, dead, 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 dead. Six here, dead, dead, dead. 4,202 fetal deaths in VAERS following the COVID-19 jab. I don't like the fact that they use the word COVID-19 vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's an experimental gene therapy. It results in blood clots that are like calamari in your arteries. Sounds fun. Sounds like death to me. Sounds like a bad idea. Children suffering with brain damage. Young lives destroyed. Here's 100 people. Dead, dead. Heart disease, dead. Dead, 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 dead. Dead after taking COVID-19 jabs. Dead, 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 dead. Bunch of pictures, videos. Eyes bleeding, dead. Comatose, dead, dead. Blood clots. Seniors euthanized, dead, dead, dead. Comparison of COVID jabs versus non-COVID jabs. 30 years of non-COVID jabs, 9,000 deaths reported. 15 months of COVID jabs, 26,000 deaths reported. That was updated in March of 2022. So we've had 9 more months, so that number should be going up and up and up and up. Oh, but we can't talk about that smoking gun. We got to talk about Joe Biden's papers that we found by his Corvette. 6-year-old dead. Double vaccinated, 20-year-old Florida model develops myocarditis, suffers heart attack, and has both legs amputated. I'm sure it was completely coincidental. Collapses on stage, stroke, dead. Brain tumor, heart attack on live TV, dead. Dead, heart disease, 10-year-old heart disease, 25-year-old dead, 31-year-old heart disease. I feel like spending an entire hour just going through all this. Actor Bob Saget died suddenly 1 month after receiving a COVID booster jab. Probably totally coincidental. Nurse dead. Footballer dead. Medical doctor dead. Pro-jab believers no longer with us. Singer dead. Orchestra conductor dead. New York Times editor dead. So, yeah, maybe that was a bad idea. Maybe you ought not have done that. Maybe scientific materialism is not of God. Maybe all the foundational beliefs that bolster science as our savior, atheism, secularism, humanism, that all sets the stage for this fervent worship of the jabs. Just picture in your mind a golden floating vaccine needle. Behold your God. Behold my God. So some people are. It's crazy. Here's a book at healthytraditions.com. Probably won't be there for much longer. Dr. Andrew Molden, Every Vaccine Produces Harm, ebook. If you can find this ebook anyplace else, I strongly commend you. I looked, I couldn't find it. So, what else is going on? Anyway. Which is more coincidences, you know. Just look the other way. Lisa Marie Presley, dead at 54. Why is she dead? Did she take a jab? I'd like to know. Anyway. Let's turn in our book here. To the book, Directing the Intention. That's right. We're talking about Jesuit trickery and mind control. They play these mind games to try to come out smelling like a rose, to try to come out on their moral high ground, to try to justify their own sins. They strenuously attempt to justify their own sins. And last time we read about something they called directing the intention in order to justify their own sins. We are reading from a book called The History of Protestantism, Volume 2. History of Protestantism, Volume 2. Book 15 on the Jesuits. Chapter 4, we had to stop almost towards the end of the chapter, honestly, yeah. So we're almost done with chapter 4. Let me keep reading here. The bottom of page 396, got it. Sure, is about basically the methods, the moral code of the Jesuits. Probabilism, you know, if it's probably right but more probably wrong, then you're okay doing either. Just, you know, so long as it suits the instructions of your superiors or whatever. They have no moral qualms about doing anything. There's nothing off limits. You know, they could justify anything. So maybe just getting Republicans in charge isn't going to be enough. January the 12th, 2023. We are not satirizing, we are simply stating the morality of the Jesuits. We never, says the Father Jesuit in Pascal's letters, we never suffer such a thing as the formal intention to sin with the sole design of sinning. In other words, they're way above that. They would never allow someone to sin for the sole design of sinning. No. And if any person, whatever, should persist in having no other end but evil, in the evil that he does, we break with him at once. So they claim that they have no interest in sinning for the purpose of sinning. I believe there's Satanists that sin for the purpose of sinning. These Jesuits would say, no, we don't sin for the purpose of sinning. Such conduct is diabolical. This is the Jesuit speaking. This holds true without exception of age, sex, or rank. But when the person is not of such a wretched disposition as this, we try to put in practice our method of directing the intention, which simply consists in his proposing to himself as the end of his actions some allowable object. Not that we do not endeavor, as far as we can, to dissuade men from doing things forbidden, but when we cannot prevent the action, we at least purify the motive. They purify the motive. Isn't that what Eve tried to do in the Garden of Eden? Isn't that what the devil got Eve to do? Well, we ought not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but reason one, reason two, reason three, sold. Let me read this really quick. I didn't even plan to do this. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, says the devil through the serpent, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ye shall not surely die. Verse 4 and 5. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, right? What is this? This is what the Jesuits would call directing the intention. Well, when we can't prevent the action, we at least purify the motive. Well, Eve had a pure motive. The tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Ah, it's going to be good for food, and it's pleasant to look at and be around, and it's going to make you wise. What with that hidden secret knowledge that Satan promised? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She directed the intention, just like the Jesuits do. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, etc., etc. Genesis 3. I thought I'd add that in there, because this is exactly what this Jesuit priest is saying. But when we cannot prevent the action, we at least purify the motive. Well, we had a pure intention. It's directing the intention. And thus correct the viciousness of the means by the goodness of the end. We correct the viciousness of the means by which you do something, by the goodness of the end. Well, according to God, see, the resounding example through Scripture is that you don't get good fruit, a good end, by tolerating and engaging in wickedness and viciousness to, quote, get there. You're not going to find the apostles. You're not going to find examples of the prophets. You're not going to find examples of godly men. You're not going to find examples of Jesus doing whatever it takes in order for some good outcome to occur. We must do evil that good may come. In fact, the continual, ceaseless, resounding example from the Bible is no. Good comes from obeying the Word of God and being submissive to the Word of God, not from doing evil that good may come from it, and so on. Not so with these men. They say that they can correct the viciousness of the means by the goodness of the end. Oh, that sounds so high and lofty. It does. So high and lofty. All right, let's keep going. Such is the way in which our Jesuit fathers of the society have contrived to permit those actions of violence to which men usually resort in vindication of their honor. Oh, so if they're engaging in some act of violence, well, it's just so that they can, what is this? Vindicate their honor. There's always some good reason to commit some sin. After all, doesn't the scripture teach that a man who steals bread to feed himself is not despised? The good outcome is that the man is fed, and yet, if he's truly hungry, people don't despise him for stealing. It says so in the Bible. It also says, thou shalt not steal. So, watch for that. The devil loves using the Bible inappropriately. They have no more to do than to turn off the intention from the desire of vengeance. So as long as you don't intend to have vengeance, which is criminal, and to direct it to a desire to defend their honor. Good Jesuitism. You flip that. You direct the intention. So instead of directing the intention, it's illegal. That's why these lawyers abound in Washington, D.C. So the left, I'll read this again, and I'll give you an example that comes to mind from the left, okay? Because they're the paramount liars on the world stage at the moment. They have no more, this is a Jesuit, they have no more to do than to turn off the intention from the desire of vengeance, which is criminal, and to direct it to a desire to defend their honor, which, according to us, is quite warrantable. So as long as you can weasel your way out of some bad intention and instead replace it with some good and noble intention, what's the example that comes to mind? Abortion, murdering children. Oh, well, it's promoting women's rights. Yeah.
This is 24/7 World Radio.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii Reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
You're listening to 24/7 World Radio.
World Radio, watching to prayer, and we're back, and I'm reading from, what am I reading from? Protestantism, sorry, History of Protestantism, Book 15, Chapter 4, and we're reading about some of the mind games that the Jesuits go through in order to kind of justify what they do. Okay, this is called justifying yourself. The Bible talks about those that would justify themselves in their own sins. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were of this religious sort, okay? They would justify themselves in their own sins. And that's what Jesus would say, you justify yourselves, you know, and he would talk about how your sins remain. And what would they say? Well, if we were blind, would our sins not remain? And that's what he told him. Yeah, if you were blind, then would you see? That type of thing. If you would stop resisting the Holy Ghost, and you could be saved, and you could be washed, and you could have your sins forgiven, but instead, you stubbornly dig your heels and continue on in your rebellion, your satanic rebellion, against the Holy Spirit, and against His anointed, and against God the Father, and against His anointed, the Holy Son of God, the pure, spotless, undefiled Lord Jesus Christ, and they do resist the counsel of God against themselves. And they'll find themselves in hell, a burning place of torment. And then they'll be taken out of hell at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment, and they'll be judged for all their life of sinning, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. So that's how that ends. But in the meantime, what they're going to do is they're going to try to justify themselves and direct the intention. And I thought of some examples of this. One that came to my mind off the top was the idea of – so they – this Jesuit father priest guy, don't call no man father, he's not really a priest either. He's a priest of Satan, I suppose. This Jesuit, he says, well, instead of directing the intention on getting vengeance, you know, and killing someone, you're not desiring vengeance, brother. You're defending your honor, which, according to us, is quite warrantable. You're defending your honor. And in this way, our doctors discharge all their duty towards God and towards man. By permitting the action, they gratify the world, and by purifying the intention, they give satisfaction to the gospel. This is a secret, sir, which was entirely unknown to the ancients. The world is indebted for the discovery entirely to our doctors, the Jesuit says. You understand it now, I hope. It's from the book, The Provincial Letters. Maybe I should read The Provincial Letters sometime. Anyway, directing the intention. Instead of you're not getting vengeance against somebody, you're defending your honor. So they correct the viciousness of what's happening by focusing on the goodness of the end. The ends justify the means. And then they just switch what the means even are. They redefine things. Well, the example that came to my mind was abortion, murdering children, okay? Well, don't think of it as murdering children or serving yourself or being a little like the statistics show. It's mostly, well-to-do, unmarried women in their 20s and 30s, professional women that don't want to be encumbered with a baby. So they go out and have an abortion. They go out and have the baby cut from them, burned with saline, salt water. They have it dismembered with horrible forceps. They rip the arms and legs off. They rip its little head. They crush the skull. They rip that little baby out. The tender mercies, right, of Satan. If you did it to animals, if you rip animals apart, what if I got an animal in the yard and I decided to just take some surgical tools, tie it down, rip its arms and legs off, rip its torso in half, crush its skull, and rip it apart? How long do you think that would float, huh? No, there'd be outrage. I mean, you have to be pretty demonic and devil-possessed to do something like that, or to defend someone doing that. Well, that's exactly what they want to do. They want to defend a woman's right to do that. That's called murder. Barbaric murder, savagery, demonism, devil possession. They didn't even do that sort of stuff at Auschwitz. Did they? I mean, I know they did human experiments. I don't think they ever ripped people. Maybe they did amputate. They did studies on amputation. I don't know. Ripping people's arms and legs off. Crushing their... Yeah, they did a lot of skull crushing here and there. Second World War. A lot of brutality. But see, we recognize it as brutality. Now it's done under the veneer of this medical thing. And what do? They direct the intention. And so you have Raskin and that other lying devil. What's his name in the House of Representatives? I can barely stand the sound of his voice. Sassy guy from New York, I think. Anyway, another nauseating guy from Tennessee. Of course, then there's Nancy Pelosi and so on. They justify this not as ripping apart a baby limb from limb. That would be vicious and terrible. But you're supporting women's rights, bodily autonomy, the right to liberty and democracy and freedom and values and you know, everything that made America what it is. No, it's not. You're just lying. So it takes a lying devil to promote those sorts of things. Well, where do you think that they came up with this idea? Defending, you're not killing someone, a desire for vengeance. You're defending your honor. You're not ripping apart a baby limb from limb. You're supporting women's rights. And so on. These leftist politicians are too stupid to think up these justifications by themselves. Rome would have to come up with ways to justify this stuff and give them breathe life into the deceptions generationally through the university systems and so on. There's not enough morality and convictions at the universities to fill a thimble. That's what Lester Roloff used to say 40 years ago. Yes, we have departed from the Bible and been swallowed up by sinful men. So they brag about being able to justify themselves so skillfully. That's just one example I can think of. I mean, theft and the grand underpinnings of socialist, leftist, Marxism, communism. Equality. We're going to make sure that everybody has an equal outcome. We're going to make sure everybody has $30,000 in the bank, and we're not going to stop until we have equalized it all. Yay! Steal from everyone. Provide to the non-producers. Yay! And so on. We're not stealing from you. We are bringing in an equitable society. Well, we're not resisting white men from being hired to positions of power, even if they're superior candidates. We're allowing the black women and the Hispanic men and the Hispanic women and the Arab men and the Arab women and particularly, forget the men, the non-white women are going to be promoted to positions of mid to high level corporate positions for diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're not excluding perfectly good superior candidates. That would be bad. We're not grinding that axe against the demonstration of these men who have demonstrated their abilities. That would be vengeful. We're directing the intention. We're doing something equitable and pure. Right? I mean, the list can go on and on. It's basically the way that they justify about everything. Every position they take on the so-called left is essentially done that way. Denying reality, avoiding facts that don't agree with their narrative. They commit themselves to a narrative first, and then everything else follows. If a given data point fits the narrative, they keep it, and they dust off anything that smacks against the narrative. The narrative is truth. And then they follow, and then they filter all the facts through that. What kind of a cult is that? I mean, the narrative is science and jabs are going to save us. So anything that smacks against that is immediately dismissed. And that's actually one of the underpinnings of Marxism going way back. The theory is truth to them. Theory comes first. Then comes data points, perceptions of reality, and so on. Get all filtered through their sacred theories. They're really idolaters. And they worship at the feet of their idolatrous theories. In fact, during the war between the states, the conservative authors were saying things like, the conservative Christian people in the South are up against these people from the North with their visionary theories. It's the same spirits. Why do you think the North's full of a bunch of blue states? Because they left the Bible. They left the truth. Anyway, we could talk about that one for a long time. Let's keep reading here. Let us take a few illustrative cases, but only such as Jesuit casuists themselves have furnished. Quote, a military man, says Reginald, quote, may demand satisfaction on the spot from the person who has injured him, not indeed with the intention of rendering evil for evil, but with that of preserving his honor. So the Jesuit authors are saying that you can do this very thing. You just twist what your intentions are. You lie. But you do the same thing in the end. You exact vengeance. But instead of saying that you're exacting vengeance, you say that you're just preserving your honor. Lessius, whoever he is, some Jesuit theorist, philosopher, observes that if a man has received a blow on the face, he must on no account have an intention to avenge himself, but he may lawfully have an intention to avert infamy, and may with that view repel the insult immediately. Avert infamy? Even at the point of the sword. Here's something that Escobar says. Quote, if your enemy is disposed to injure you, says Escobar, you have no right to wish his death by a movement of hatred, though you may to save yourself from harm. If your enemy is disposed to injure you, says Escobar, you have no right to wish his death by a movement of hatred. Well, that's true. Though you may to save yourself from harm. Ah, so wishing his death to save yourself from harm. Well, you know, just because he's your enemy doesn't mean that things have to come to life and death blows. But that's exactly where they would take it. If there's some Bible believer or somebody that doesn't want to go with their program, they would hate that person. But they would say that they're saving themselves from harm. It's exactly how the Muslims justify all the death and destruction that they cause in Europe and other places. I've seen those videos and I've heard the interviews. And they say what they're doing is, they don't say that they're attacking you. They don't admit that what they're doing is taking up the sword against you. They say, well, you spoke against Muhammad and we're defending ourselves while they're attacking you, etc. And yeah, that's why having United States military bases in all parts of the world is wrong. Because those places are not the United States of America. This is the United States of America. Defend here, let those places do whatever they're going to do. But the Jesuit CIA steps in and says, oh, no, we need these bases all over the world. Yeah, right. Because we're not trying to control things for the Pope. We're trying to make the world safe for democracy. And other visionary theories. And says Hurtado de Mendoza, quote, we may pray God to visit with speedy death those who are bent on persecuting us, if there is no other way of escaping from it. We may pray God to visit with speedy death those who are bent on persecuting us. You know what they consider persecution? Exposing their wickedness. Exposing their wickedness, exposing their fraud, putting them across the grid of the Word of God. They would consider that to be a form of persecution. I've read it over and over again in these old books, especially when the priests are involved. Some low-level priest riles up his Roman Catholic people. The Protestants are persecuting us. They're persecuting the Virgin Mary. Some preacher is exposing this nonsense, according to the Word of God. He's persecuting us. That's what they did with Diana. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Diana is just the Roman, Greek, whatever name for Virgin Mary. It's all the same Semiramis goddess. Paul was there preaching. He's persecuting us. He's saying terrible things about us. We're being persecuted. Yeah. We may pray God to visit with speedy death. I don't remember Jesus ever setting the example for his followers to pray God for a speedy death of those who persecuted them. Remember when Jesus was dealing with people and they said, shall we call fire from heaven to consume them? And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. I am not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now, incidentally, I do believe you have the right to preserve your own life to the death, of course. But these men are contemplating it in a forethought way about who they can persecute, who they can tear down. That's different.
This is 24/7 World Radio, your source for the truth.
This is Eric John Phelps. Please listen to my broadcast, The Eric John Phelps Show, as I preach the true gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, defend the Protestant Reformation that birthed Western civilization, and expose the counter-reformation of the Jesuit order seeking to make the Pope of Rome the universal monarch of the world. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Broeder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
You're listening to your source for the truth. This is 24/7 World Radio.
World Radio, watching the prayer, and we're back. And let's continue. It says, chapter 4, directing the intention, history of Protestantism, which is in book 15 of, volume 2 of history of Protestantism, book 15. Chapter 4. Yes, sir. An incumbent, says Gaspar de Hurtado, may, without any mortal sin, desire the decease of a life-renter on his benefice. Desire the decease, I guess, of somebody that you're... Like you're, if you're a landlord and somebody's renting from you, then you can desire their death without any mortal sin. And a son, that of a father. And rejoice when it happens. So if you're a son, you can desire the death of your father and rejoice when it happens. How? Provided always it is for the sake of the profit that is to accrue from the event, and not from personal aversion. So if you can somehow manage to forget about the gratification it'll bring you if somebody in particular dies, and instead you focus on, instead, let's say your intention is to focus on the benefit that it brings, and that's really what you eat yourself up with. Oh yes, the benefit, the sake of the profit, not because I wanted this person to die, but because when they did, it was able to get me X, Y, and Z. Oh, wow. What a high and lofty moral theology this is. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. There's no Bible verses quoted here at all. Sanchez teaches that it is lawful to kill our adversary in a duel, or even privately, when he intends to deprive us of our honor or property unjustly in a lawsuit. Well, you can go to Mortal Kombat if they intend to deprive you of your honor. Well, what does depriving you of your honor mean? Who knows? It could mean anything. You know, he intends to expose your sins. Well, you're not exposing my sins. You're depriving me of my honor. And this Jesuit teaches that it's lawful to kill somebody who deprives you of your honor. The Jesuits would use that as a source in their mind to justify it. Well, we got one father that said it was okay. So it's probably okay, even though it's more probably not. It's a vast sea of sin. And there's no bottom, and there's no end in sight. Well, the end in sight is when they take their last breath and they plunge into hell. Deprive us of our honor or property unjustly in a lawsuit, or by chicanery, and when there is no other way of preserving them. It's from a book by Sanchez on moral theology, blah, blah, blah. Page 39, whatever. It is equally right to kill in a private way a false accuser and his witness, and even the judge who has been bribed to favor them. Quote, a most pious assassination, unquote, exclaims Pascal. End of chapter 4. On the Jesuit. Oh, what was this chapter really called? I think it was called Moral Code of the Jesuits. So we covered probabilism. We covered the first one was the ends sanctify the means, which means whatever you got to do to get there, do it. The second one was probabilism, which means you could find just one source, and that'll make something probably okay, even though it's more probably not. And it's okay to go with the probable right or wrong. And the third and final tactic is directing the intention. In other words, shifting in your mind your reason for doing a certain thing. You know, you change it in your mind. The neighbor's dog is barking. So you pull out your gun and you shoot it. Well, you're not taking the life of your neighbor's dog out of anger. Your intention, you're bringing peace. You're bringing peace to the neighborhood. You're advancing democracy. How would they put it on the mainstream media anytime a gun thing happens? Mostly caused by their intelligence agency anyways. You're saving the children. Yeah. Hogwash. That's what it is. It's ridiculous. So, that's what you can look for. Jesuitisms. We call these Jesuitisms or Jesuit casuistry. Jesuit casuistry. Or casuistry. If you look up... I love this resource. ETYM. Online, etym online, tells you the etymology of words. Casuistry has to do with this exact thing we're talking about here. We just finished chapter 4, the Moral Code of the Jesuits, probabilism, etc. We talked about, of course, they're cut off from family and property. Okay, so they're the prime internationalists, right? Citizens of the world. Where do you think the left gets its thrust for citizens of the world? Where do you think the cultural thrust in the United Nations and, you know, World Children's Day and the brainwash around the internationalist imperative for man-made climate change stopping and carbon tax and internationalism? And we have no set preoccupied predispositions to our own nation. We need to be internet. So this is Jesuitism, Jesuitism, Jesuitism. They have no set nation. They'll go here, there, everywhere. They don't care. The other thing that we talked about in this chapter was... I'm going to get to casuistry in just a second. The other thing we talked about in this chapter was the first tactic that they use to justify themselves is that the end sanctifies the means. The end sanctifies the means. Morality, right and wrong. In fact, if you look at that trailer for the new Mission Impossible movie coming out, the very sinister high-level antagonist seems to be indicating to Tom Cruise that, you know, we can control right and wrong. We have the opportunity to guide the definitions of right and wrong for centuries. Who do you think is of that mentality? If you watch any of the any of the video clips online for that Marvel movie called Mysterio. Actually, I think it's called No Way Home or something like that. It's the Spider-Man one. Mysterio. I've never seen the movie. I don't want to really spend my time doing that, but I've seen some clips. And the guy talks about, you know, people don't have anything to believe in. They don't believe anything, so they'll believe anything. And I want to give them something to believe. Of course, he was just using holograms and lying to them with illusions. Well, that's what this moral theology is. That's what this so-called theological morality will get you. It's illusions. It's not based on the solid word of God. It's wickedness. The ends justify the means. That's a Jesuitism. Secondly, the probabilism. If something is probably wrong but more probably right, or if something is probably right but more probably wrong, they can blur their judgment. The Bible talks all about that in the book of Proverbs. There's no blurry judgment in the Bible. That's why they hate the Bible, because it exposes them. It cuts to pieces all these self-appointed efforts to determine right and wrong. You know, they don't get to decide what right and wrong is. God already did that, and it's established, and it's not changing. They hate that. Satan hates that unchangeable standard. Of course, you see a shadow of that reflected in the way that Congress wants to do whatever it wants to do, and the executive branch wants to do whatever it wants to do. The judiciary wants to do whatever it wants to do. They don't want to be nailed down by any unchanging constitution. That's too biblical. That's too Protestant and Baptist. That smacks too much of unchanging standard holiness. Can't have that. Probabilism. Doing that which is right in your own eyes, yeah. Rather than what is thus saith the Lord? Submission to the word of God. That's what I ultimately see it coming down to. Submission and obedience to the written word of God. And in the English language, it's the King James Bible. So they just come up with their own Bibles in order to get themselves off the hook. And so you'll see that the NIV, for instance, has no mention of the word sodomite. Instead, they tweak it in order to say homosexual offender. Well, what's that? Is that the same thing as sodomite? Well, they might lead you to believe that, but it is just ammunition for sodomites to try to justify themselves and say, well, I'm not a homosexual offender. This can't possibly be talking about what I'm doing, and so on. Word games. Endless word games in these so-called new Bibles. Well, I would expect as much because the Jesuits were part and parcel of the translation committees, and so on. Never underestimate the power of these word games they can play. So we have the ends justify the means, probabilism, and the last thing that we read, directing the intention. Tweaking the intention for a given action. If you intend to do some sinning, you just change in your mind your intention, and presto, it's now made pure, and so on. So if I look up casuistry and I look at the etymology of the word casuistry, 1703, in ethics, quote, the solution of special problems of conscience by application of general principles or theories. Casuistry. Even in the earliest printed uses, the sense was pejorative. All right, what is a casuist? Around the 1600s, casuist, one who studies and resolves cases of conscience, from the French casuiste, 1600s, or Spanish casuista. The French word also might be from Spanish. Italian casista, from the Latin casus, or case, see case, noun. In its medieval Latin sense, case of conscience. Often since the 17th century, that is the 1600s, in a sinister or contemptuous sense, like Jesuit casuistry, like trying to bend the rules. Why do you think people don't trust lawyers? Because they're constantly grating against common morality and decency, finding loopholes, pressing terms of words, twisting and contorting. It's all built upon dishonesty. Often since the 17th century, in a sinister or contemptuous sense, over-subtle reasoner, sophist. Related casuistic, casuistically, casuistically. And that's what the term Jesuitism is, or Jesuitically. Someone who has over-subtle reasoning, sophist. Sophist. Soph has to do with wisdom, like sophomore. Sophist, one who makes use of fallacious arguments. Mid-1400s, earlier, sophister, from the Latin sophista, sophistes, a master of one's craft, a wise or prudent man, one clever in matters of daily life. Sophistai, to become wise or learned. Sophos, skilled in a handicraft, cunning in one's craft. So, that's what they do. They go through what you call moral, mental gymnastics or whatever. Jesuit casuistry, we finished that. Lord willing, we'll get to chapter 5, which has to do with the teaching of killing of kings, regicide, murder, lying, and theft. Interesting. 24/7 World Radio, watching to prayer. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. Just stick with the old King James Bible. That's easy enough. Lord bless you.
This is 24/7 World Radio.